What?
Ooh, looks like it's downloading pretty fast.
Yeah, I signed up for high-speed SBC Yahoo DSL. It's only $19.95 a month.
$19.95, that's awesome.
Yeah, but what's really awesome is how fast it is. I think Clapton, hit a few buttons, boom, I got Layla.
So is it faster than Clapton?
You can't even compare the two.
Why, you chicken?
No.
Scared Eric Clapton's faster than your DSL? They call him Slowhand, but he's really fast.
But I'm not... All right, you know what? It is. It's faster. It's a bazillion times faster than Eric Clapton.
Whoa.
For a limited time, sign up for SBC Yahoo DSL for just $19.95 a month for 12 months when you order online or with qualifying services. Get high-speed internet plus the content you want, even Eric Clapton songs. Call 1-866-SBC-YAHOO or visit sbc.com/1995. SBC. Going beyond the call.
Taxes, other charges, and the Federal Universal Service Cost Recovery Fee Extra. For details of additional charges, restrictions, and requirements, call 1-866-416-6471 toll-free or visit sbc.com/offer details.
Three Lake Louis beers on tap, only at David Heine's Dining in Black Earth.
The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of WIBA or its management. Previously on Upfront.
I am a first-year teacher, and to get my position, and even to start student teaching, I had to fill a lot of forms about my history, talking about whether I was a felon or not, or if I'd ever been convicted of a sexual crime.
Yeah, that is the one thing we can still, by the way, we can still actually deny employment in schools if you're a child sexual predator. Yay!
Okay.
Goody!
We can still deny that. Somebody access, but if we are a felon, they cannot even consider that in the hiring?
No. Well, no. Not technically. I suppose a board could if they didn't tell anybody they were using that. But no, actually, according to the Fair Employment Act, discrimination based on conviction records is illegal.
Welcome to Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310 or email Vicki McKenna at clearchannel.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Welcome back to the program, 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. As promised, we have some new information to share with you regarding the May 24th referenda that the Madison School Board has put to you for more money, same service budget, more money, and we've got some other referenda as well to deal with in addition to the operating budget that they're looking for an increase in. I've got a couple of folks in the studio here. I've got Sarah Kidd, and those of you who are familiar in education activism in the city are probably
right.
Familiar with Sarah, but Sarah's been active in the Madison School District since 1990.
Correct.
But you went away.
I went away for 2 years. I had to house sit for a relative that they went to Bolivia to teach for 2 years. So I just came back in July.
So you've been here since July.
That's right.
And from what I'm hearing is that some folks asked you if you wanted to get back involved, and you were thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to get back involved. So what finally kicked you in the keister and got you back involved with education issues?
Well, I really wasn't going to get back involved. After 1997, I sort of... kind of backed away from this, but coming back, I really wasn't going to get too involved. I think when the school board elections were held and there was a person that was elected that wasn't supported by the teachers union, I thought maybe there's a little bit of hope that there'll be more balance on the board, because without that, I don't think there's really much hope for too much discussion or dialogue. And then I guess with the school referendum, when they were suggesting that they're going to borrow $48 million, I just thought, I got to look back at the data that my husband and I were compiling since 1990 and bring it up to date. Because I just had kind of retired from this from 1997 until now. And when I was developing the data, I'm like, holy cow, this is pretty dramatic. And I knew Nancy Mistel, I've known Nancy Harper, a few other people. I just kind of showed them this information, and to me it's very compelling historical data regarding our spending.
Let me also introduce Nancy Mistel, former board member, also active in education here, who has also been taking a look at some of the numbers that Sarah has so meticulously cultivated for so long and now updated. And we've got some dramatic things to share. Now, Nancy, welcome to the show. It's good to have you. It's good to finally, you know, have you on my program. We've called in a couple times, but it's nice to see you in the flesh for a change.
Thank you.
Let's start out by talking about these referenda and talk about what appears to be something of a shell game with some money. We are being told, we as voters, we as taxpayers are being told, it's for the kids. And if you vote against it, you're voting against the kids. Because if you vote against it, they're going to cut strings. They're going to cut athletics. They're going to cut here. They're going to cut there. It seems to me the only place they really are serious about cutting is education. But it's for the kids, and so they want people to go out and vote. Vote yes on these same service budgets, in addition to build a new school. And then we've also got a maintenance referendum that we're also dealing with as well. So tell me about the same service budget and what we really are looking at here, and is it for the kids? Nancy, I'm going to let you start.
Well, you know, I have to thank Sarah for all the work she's done. And if it wasn't for Sarah and Virgil Kidd and the information they put into my hands, I probably never would have run for office. But, you know, once you get information like this and you go, what is really going on? Who's minding the store? It compels you to take action, which is really why, you know, we've teamed up to kind of get this story out. And our goal is to get out and speak to as many groups as we can between now and the referendum. We appreciate the opportunity to break this information on your show. And the whole idea of same service budget is, to me, a misnomer when you're looking at a district who in the past 10 years has had a budget that's grown by $117 million. And all of these statistics I give you, Vicki, this is from 94 to 04. The budget's grown by $117 million. The student population in that same time period has decreased by 45 students. And the district staff has increased by 633 people.
How do we have the district staff increasing, but we have fewer students and we're spending more money? In 10 years, $117 million additional dollars, it seems to me, is a little excessive, even if we just increase for the cost of, you know, the average cost of inflation.
Absolutely, and that's where I think this whole question of what does same-service budget mean, there isn't a clear definition. We talk about this zero-based business, but if that were the case, and you just did an inflationary adjustment, I don't think you'd be finding this rapid growth. You wouldn't find staff. You certainly wouldn't be finding a staff that would be a whole lot more than level.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot more than level.
633 additional staffers.
Correct.
What are they doing? Have we figured out what they're doing?
No, but Sarah's got, I mean, again, you look at the budgets. There are charts, there are graphs, there are distributions of people all over the district. And Sarah, I think, has got a little bit more to share on this. But before she does, I want to make a point that we're not suggesting in any way that the teaching staff has increased. What we're suggesting is that overall the district staff has increased. But I think that there's a pretty good chance that we think more of these people are in middle level and upper management than they are in the schools themselves.
Sarah?
By the way, the information that I'm giving you today is really in more detail for anybody who'd like a copy of it. They could just, if they want to email me at careinfo05@yahoo.com, I'd be very glad to send on the charts of the school district enrollment and staffing and budget and space to them. But this idea of the staffing and the increase over what's pretty much a flat enrollment, and really now we're in a declining enrollment period. My husband and I said back in 1990 that they should freeze hiring. They really didn't need to increase the staffing because the enrollment was not going to be growing. I mean, the enrollment back when we looked at things in 1990 was 23,214. The peak enrollment in this district was 25,000, a little over 25,000, and that was like 1996, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And we said you shouldn't be building for the peak. You should accommodate the peak, because after that peak goes through, we will experience declining enrollment, which is what's happening right now.
This
was validated, by the way, by Tom Akagi, who was a city demographer at the time, that the district would be flattening out.
So that's what we're doing.
This isn't just CARE data or CARE assimilation of information, but there were city demographers that had many, many years that were and when the district actually asked other people, where should we build and where should we go, Tom Akagi was the guy. And he was the one that knew where Madison was growing and where
new schools should be built. Let me ask this question, then, since we see a declining enrollment, why, and we are being asked to spend money on the Leopold School referendum, is the Leopold School referendum going to have the same, is it going for, again, a peak in that particular area, and eventually we're going to see the same thing happen, where we're going to see those kids go from elementary school and then into middle school, and suddenly Leopold will not serve the purpose that we are being told it's going to serve? Is it going to accommodate students forever and ever and be worth the money we're spending?
Well, if the past school additions that we did in the 90s is any indication, we added 63 classrooms to the district in the 1990s. We built them at Elvium and at Crestwood and at Stevens and I think O'Keefe,
Falk, Hegel, Thoreau, Hamilton, Shorewood, Crestwood.
And if you look in the district's profile book, those schools have reached their peak enrollment and they're all declining now.
So what you're basically telling me is quite likely Leopold is going to have the same pattern.
Well,
the same thing's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to accommodate the younger kids who are going, right? You know, you've got homeowners, right?
Right.
They've got young kids. They want to send them to this proposed new elementary school. Well, those kids grow up and those kids then go to middle school and high school. So I'm wondering who is now going to fill the seats in this school.
Well, you know, the other thing that I found in just going on the website and all is that it seems that the school district is proposing to keep the enrollment steady by starting a four-year-old kindergarten program.
We're going to take a quick break here. Sarah, hold that thought. We'll come back to that right after the commercial break. Sarah Kidd, my guest, also Nancy Missel. We're talking about the school referenda and the budget. This is Upfront.
How do you do in the market today? Exclusively on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Need some extra cash?
Need new tires?
Get both! Just get in your vehicle and head to Westown Monona Tire and get a new set of tires and a $50 Visa prepaid card when you purchase a new set of four Michelin passenger or light truck tires. Westown Monona Tire is your home every day for the most competitive prices on Michelin, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, Continental, and General Tires. So save yourself the time of shopping and save money. Get a $50 Visa prepaid cash card when you purchase a new set of four Michelin tires from Westown Monona Tire. Westown Monona Tire at the corner of Gammon and Odell. Roads, Madison.
Imagine you're relaxing. Your wife comes in.
How many times do I have to ask you to mow the grass? It's not going to cut itself. What, do you want me to get on my knees and pull it up blade by blade?
What you actually hear.
How many times do I have to ask you to mow the grass?
Your wife continues.
And there is no way you are going out with your friends. Put that golf club down. You will be taking the kids to and from practice.
You hear.
And there is no way you are going out with your friends.
You've got racing on your mind. We believe the best course of action is to get down to the Milwaukee Mile for Champ Car ARCA Weekend, June 3rd and 4th. For tickets, call 414-453-8277 or visit MilwaukeeMile.com. Champ Car ARCA Weekend at the Milwaukee Mile.
And have you forgotten my sister's birthday party on Sunday? Oh my gosh, you forgot. You did forget. I can see it all over your face. Well, I am telling you.
We're there for you. The Milwaukee Mile, 100 years and accelerating.
Having that dream again. You know, the one about owning a John Deere lawn tractor.
Hey, wake up! It's true. The MHI open houses this Saturday, May 14th in Monroe. You could be riding away in green. Enter to win a new John Deere L111 riding machine only at MHI days. John Deere credit reps will be on hand for instant financing. Test drive any John Deere lawn tractor and receive a medium blizzard from DQ. Enjoy dollar hot dogs and $2 brats. MHI in Mount Horeb in Monroe. Your John Deere store and more.
When they get a four-star hotel for a two-star price on Hotwire.com. When they discover that Hotwire.com consistently beats other sites on hotels, let's find out.
Honey, I'm going to find a hotel in Boston for my family reunion.
All right.
Let's see. There's a four-star hotel on Travelocity for $159 a night.
Ouch.
I don't think so. Orbit's $154. Mm. And on Hotwire, a four-star hotel with a gym in Cambridge for, oh, honey, look at this, $104 a night.
$104. 104 a night? Yes!
And now let's slow down the tape to more fully understand Bob's reaction.
104 a night? Yes.
We saved enough for a big fat steak dinner, maybe even a new table saw. Why didn't I go to Hotwire sooner?
Yes.
Ah, much clearer. Log on to hotwire.com, spend less on hotels and more on power tools. Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive, cheap.
Based on February 2005 comparisons, not including taxes or fees. Prices subject to change and availability.
The Mifflin Street Block Party proves costly for some residents. We'll have the story at 4:30 here on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Madison's best, most complete newscast. Hear it at the top and bottom of every hour. Now more Up Front with Vicki McKenna on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310 if you've got questions for these two lovely ladies, Nancy Misselin and Sarah Kidd as well. And we are talking about the referenda coming up May 24th. I want to finish up, though. I want to continue to talk about the Leopold referendum. We have not spent a lot of time on this program on that, spending more time on the operating budget. And we are going to get into the operating budget as well here. But it seems to me that if the demographers essentially are sort of predicting that this peak will then level off and we're going to have a brand new school, clearly, that we're going to be staffing with brand new people, it's going to be that much more money to run. Remember, this is not something that's going away. Once you build a school, you got to staff it, you got to run it, you've got maintenance people, you've got union contractors, you've got teachers, right, you've got principals, and the kids go away. Well, certainly the district is not going to let that school be mostly empty. Certainly the district is going to fill it with bodies, so I'm guessing we're bussing kids from one place to another. That's got to be what happens there, because they have to know that these kids are eventually going to get out of elementary school and go to middle school.
Vicki, the statistics actually, and Sarah's got some real good points, but I'm just going to make one point here. When I sat on the board and the district pushed for expansions at Crestwood and Stevens School, that's precisely what happened. Those two schools got additions that weren't truly necessary for their neighborhood populations, and consequently all of the allied kids ended up then getting bused to those two schools. That's now those two schools paired with the allied community that used to be at Thoreau. And now they're bused further away because we had schools with space.
Now we've got Leopold's closer to allied, so presumably some of those kids are then going to go and be, and they will be suddenly at Leopold School. That's best guess, don't you think?
Well, it would make sense because it's their neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's right around the corner. It's their neighborhood. Why would you take Allied Drive kids and bus them clear across town if you now are going to expand a school right around the corner? I don't know if Leopold families, or quite honestly, if the whole consideration of Leopold expansion even has Allied in the picture.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of go back to this peak enrollment thing, too, because I looked at the district enrollment, and as a whole district, we reached our peak in 1997-98 at 25,132 students. But the elementary schools reached their peak in 1994-95. So those kids are going to move up the system. Middle school reached their peak in 2000-2001. We are in a declining enrollment. I don't know where they're going to get new bodies from. And I mentioned before the break,
overall, we're in a declining enrollment, too. So,
overall,
I mean, they're going to be taking, where are they getting all the new bodies from?
It's not
just going to be from Allied. It's got to be else from elsewhere.
And that's where they're looking to start a four-year-old kindergarten program. And, you know, that'll give them
more bodies.
More bodies. They did that with the five-year-old program in the mid-90s. Instead of having half-day five-year-old kindergartens, we went wholesale to full-day five-year-old kindergartens. And, you know, that's a policy decision that I think the community should discuss. Do we as a community want to have a four-year-old program?
And can we afford it?
That's a question. And not to mention, is this in fact what's going to happen? Because those questions haven't been answered yet. Why do we need Leopold School? We are being told it is because there's going to be increased enrollment in that neighborhood. That is all we're being told. We're not being told about the future of this particular school. And nobody's telling us that the enrollment is declining citywide in Madison schools until probably, I talked to Nancy, she gave me a bit of a hint of this last. I had no idea we had fewer children in the schools and indeed more staffers. Now we're talking about building another school.
I didn't know that either until I updated this information and saw it for myself. And it's like, why are we building again? Mm-hmm. We just don't need to do it. So
why does the board not want to investigate options and alternatives to building new schools? Because it seems to me that they like this idea. They like it a lot. They like the Leopold idea, just like they like the same service operating budget, which really isn't the same service budget. And we'll talk about that in a second. But they like these plans, and then dissent about the plan or questions brought up about the plan. For instance, I know that Don Severson with Active Citizens for Education has attempted to raise some questions. Those questions fall on deaf ears, and in fact, the general public, the taxpayers, never even informed about what's going on unless, you know, Don or somebody like you ladies managed to get the ear of a talk show host, for instance, or a news department. Otherwise, it's as if the board wants to, you know, pull the wool over people's eyes.
Well, I think
eyes.
The impression is that we have more students, that we need more space, that we run out of space, that we have to build.
Well, and if you look at this too, it's they're not saying we have more students all over the community. They've gone to one school, one community, targeted one aspect. And if you think about what they've done over the past couple of years, it's very much the same. Crestwood was, you know, we have too many or we need more. Stevens or Marquette, you know, we pick one spot. We don't look at this district as a whole, Vicki, and that's the real problem.
All righty, I'm going to get to calls here. By the way, you are welcome to call in and ask questions or voice your concerns about this at 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310. Tom, you are on with Nancy Mistel and Sarah Kidd. What is your question?
I got two of them. One is the city of Madison keeps growing in population, yet the students aren't going to the city of Madison schools. And why is that because of the legislature or... not making the district right, or what is the cause of that? Why aren't these students that are on the far west side and far east side, why aren't they coming into the Madison schools?
Well, I think part of that would have to be a question asked directly to the parents is if you, first of all, do all of these people have kids, for starters? You can't make the assumption that every household has children.
Right.
So, you know, we could be growing by adults. Or, you know, but if parents are opting to put their kids in private school, that's certainly one option.
Homeschooling.
There's homeschooling populations have grown tremendously. But that's, you know, I don't know that that's a question we can answer specifically. Anecdotally, you see surrounding communities growing. You hear of people leaving Madison or opting for private school or other options. I don't think that's something that we here can address. However, it's a very important point, and one of the things that I'd like to say is if you talk about what's going on, this isn't just Madison's problem because it's a countywide issue. Everybody that leaves Madison to go to a different area causes the same kinds of growth issues there.
All right. Well, let me get to Tom's one other question. And, Tom, we may have to take a break before, and you'll have to listen on the other side, though. I'll just ask
the question is, why haven't we built a school in the Allied Drive area for all the African American students? Why are we building it down in Leopold, another one right next to Leopold?
That is an excellent question. And you know what, Tom? Thank you for the phone call. I hope you don't mind and you're not offended, but I'm going to disconnect you now. And they're going to answer it on the other side of the commercials. Is that cool with you?
Okay.
All right, cool. You know, because it's cool with me, and I am the show host. I get to make these decisions. So we will come back, and we will answer that question. So why not build the school in the Allied neighborhood? And we'll take some more of your questions as well at 321-1310 or toll-free 877-235-1310. Nancy Mistel, Sarah Kidd, my guest. This is Upfront.
Feed your mind. News Talk 1310. WIBA. This is News Talk 1310, WIBA. Every hour, every day. Madison's first choice for news. Now, continuing team coverage.
At 4:30, it's partly cloudy and 75. I'm Justin Cleveland. We've got a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for all of southern Wisconsin until 8 o'clock tonight. Madison police have now written more than $80,000 in tickets for violations from the Mifflin Street Block Party. Officers dropped off dozens of citations to homes in both the 4 and 500 blocks of West Mifflin yesterday. Police spokesman Mike Hansen tells WIBA News it may sound like a lot of cash, but...
I'd have a hard time believing that students are poor when they're charging $5 a cup and $3 for a shot of alcohol times hundreds of people in their house party.
Hansen says one home got four tickets with a combined fine of more than $19,000. Nearly all the citations have been for liquor violations to homes that serve beer and booze without a permit. Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk today announced a $600,000 restoration project for the county's three locks. speaking at Tenney Park, Falk said part of the project will be adding flow gauges to regulate the water depths on the lakes.
Two out of the last 4 years, you'll recall we had very unusually high water levels that caused lots of damage to property owners and users of the lake. And this will help us regulate those lake levels better between the chain of lakes.
Falk says the work will begin this fall and should be completed by next boating season. The logs are located at Tenney Park as well as on Lakes Wavisa and Kikanza. Prosecutors in Adams County say they will wait for a final report before deciding whether criminal charges will be brought against a man who started the wildfire that torched thousands of acres near Big Flats last week. District attorneys say the blaze wasn't lit intentionally or maliciously, but the person who started it was instead cleaning up his property shortly after he and his wife moved in. The wind-whipped fire torched 30 homes before it was stopped. Lake County Coroner Richard Keller says the two girls who were found slain this morning in a wooded area of Zion, Illinois, along the Wisconsin border, died of multiple stab wounds. Keller also identified the two girls as 90-year-old Crystal Tobias and 8-year-old Laura Hobbs. The two girls disappeared yesterday while riding bikes together, and authorities say the girls' parents reported them missing around 9 p.m. yesterday. Watkins says the stabbings are a heinous crime, not just against the children, but against the entire community. A 31-year-old Madison man will spend nearly 24 years in prison for a shooting last year on Allied Drive. Federal Judge John Chabaz handed down that sentence this afternoon, and Adrian Bell was convicted of two counts of felony possession of a weapon. Bell has three prior felony convictions, and authorities found the weapon after a shooting in the 2200 block of Allied Drive last October 2nd. Traffic and weather next, WIBA News Time 432.
Stay informed throughout your day
with the latest news every 30 minutes.
News you can count on. Madison's news leader is News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Are you a homeowner?
Yes.
Do you want to save money?
Yes.
Are you paying more than 4% on your loan?
Yes.
If you said yes to these questions, then say yes to a new lower rate from American Equity Mortgage, and we'll say yes to you. Just call 608-246-9999.
My credit's great. Should I be calling American Equity Mortgage?
Yes. Everyone wants a better deal, and American Equity Mortgage can save you hundreds of dollars every month.
Can I get cash fast?
Yes. At American Equity Mortgage, you can get approval in hours and close as fast as 1 week.
I heard rates are going up. Can I still save money?
Yes, if you're paying more than 4%, call us today at 608-246-9999. The sooner you call, the sooner you can get a new lower rate from American Equity Mortgage.
American Equity Mortgage, the future belongs to you.
American Equity Mortgage, open till 8, 608-246-9999. Or apply online at AmericanEquity.com.
WIBA News Time 4:33. This U.S. Cellular Rapid Traffic Update is sponsored by First Weber, the power of 1,400 sales associates in more than 40 locations behind the sale of your home. Visit firstweber.com to experience the power. Here's Jay Daniels.
Going to start seeing some slowdowns on the Beltline right now, starting around Park Street all the way down to about Southtown Drive, eastbound side, westbound side. Also going to be seeing some heavier congestion right now downtown as you're headed outbound. Do expect some slowdowns on East Washington right around Highway 51. Also, Park Street pretty packed right now. As you hit about Regent Street up to Vilas, you're going to be slowing down there. Also, University. As you're making your way outbound from campus, you're going to be seeing some heavier congestion, as well as outbound on 18-151 and also Highway 51. As you head north and southbound around that, especially around Flom Road, you're going to be seeing some slowdowns with this U.S. Cellular Rapid Traffic Update. I'm Jay Daniels on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Thanks, Jay. We go to the News 3 Weather Center for the latest on the storm watches and warnings around the area. Here's meteorologist Gary Kinalty.
Our forecast for tonight includes a severe thunderstorm watch for south central and southeastern Wisconsin until 8 p.m. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly this evening. Severe thunderstorm with high winds and hail is possible early. Low temperature at 54, winds out of the south to southwest at 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow becoming partly sunny and continued mild with a high of 74, westerly winds at 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night becoming mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms developing, mainly late, the low at 50. Wednesday, cloudy, breezy, and much cooler with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms and a high of 58. I'm meteorologist Gary Kinalty.
It's cloudy and 75 in Madison. Listen online anytime at WIBA.com. I'm Justin Cleveland.
Get live in-depth team coverage of today's top local stories every half hour. Your local news authority, 24/7. News Talk 1310 WIBA.
When it comes to driving, there are certain truths. Red means stop, green means go, and the AAA symbol means the most trusted provider of roadside assistance is there and ready to help. Well, the AAA symbol is also the sign of an auto insurance provider with a proven history of protecting motorists. In fact, AAA insures more than 1 million drivers in the Midwest. With AAA, you get auto insurance that offers great low rates, fast, friendly claim service, an all-day, everyday, toll-free number, and conveniently located offices staffed with agents who are always ready to help. So, when you're out on the road, remember, a dotted line means it's okay to pass. If you just wash your car, count on rain. And if you want auto insurance from a name you can trust, you want AAA. Give us a call.
For a free quote on all your insurance needs, check the yellow pages for your local AAA agent. Call 1-800-723-0220 or click on AAA.com. Or talk to your independent insurance agent. Auto insurance underwritten by Auto Club Insurance Association.
Want better gas mileage? Get to AutoZone and tune up your car now. From spark plugs to fuel injector cleaners, AutoZone has what you need to save fuel. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Exercise your right to freedom of speech. Call now at 321-1310 or toll free at 1-877-235-1310. Or sound off on today's topic on the web at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310, WIBA.
And we're back. We're going to get back to the questions and back to the discussion with Nancy Mistel and Sarah Kidd about the budget, about the referendum. But first, I got to say hi to Greg Jeske, Channel 27 News. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Vicki. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And what's coming up on the headlines?
Got three suspended Madison police officers who continue to get paid as their alleged wrongdoing is investigated by the department. Well, so far, that's cost the city more than $100,000. We'll tell you why it's taking so long to resolve these cases. The final autopsy report is finally out on the inmate who died in the Rock County Jail way back in January, what that report says, and the consequences for some other inmates. A 27 News investigation will look into the abuse of certain prescription drugs by college students, a rather ordinary problem that's starting to have some extraordinary repercussions on the UW-Madison campus. And for the first time in more than 30 years, you can park on the outer rim of the Capitol Square. What officials are hoping to accomplish with that move, we'll have all that and a lot more tonight. Keep an eye on the weather as well, of course.
Just remember, Greg, it's for the bicyclists, okay? That's how the city is justifying this to their liberal elite selves.
The two-wheelers.
It's for the bicyclists, and
okay.
I would let them believe it. As far as I'm concerned, fine. Greg, thank you very much for the update. We appreciate it, and we'll look for you and Elizabeth Hopkins, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Tonight, Channel 27 News, 5, 6, and 10. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, Nancy Mistel, Sarah Kidd, we want to go back to Tom's question because he didn't have a chance to get it in before the commercial break. Why not build a school in Ally? We were talking about the Leopold School. We're talking about peaks in district enrollment. And before you answer, it is worth pointing out that the peak of district enrollment was 1969,
correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
10,000 more than we have now back in 1969, and somehow we managed to do it.
1969, 34,300 kids in 12 less buildings than we have today.
Somehow we now have, what is it, 20, help me out here, ladies, 23,000?
24,000
okay.
Students right now.
So 10,000 more in 1969, and we won't say how long ago that was because everybody knows I was born around that age, around that date. But still, it does suggest that something has happened, be it an idea that we're all married to this, it's got to be 15 to 1, it's got to be 13 to 1 class sizes. We can't have class sizes go above 18. If we have class sizes go above 18, then we're putting the kids' academic achievements at risk. However, Madison has always been a reasonably performing school district, and indeed, I'm looking at these lower class sizes. I'm not seeing the kids doing any better in the who are in the at-risk groups, even with these small class sizes. I don't know what's happening where we've got district enrollment so much lower than it has been in the past, and we still can't seem to manage to put out kids who know how to read.
Yep, I don't mean
all of the kids, just some of the kids at risk.
Well, absolutely. You know, I remember when I was in school, if you weren't reading by the end of first grade, something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's if you can't read by the end of third grade.
And then we'll put you in a program that's got a 57% success rate.
Well, and that's the problem. There are many, many different ways to teach reading. And why we seem to be married to the reading recovery is the only methodology in this district. And as you pointed out, you know, forego $2 million in aid that would benefit our reading.
Actually, we would forego $15 million potential aid from the federal government for reading programs. $2 million if you want to talk about the music and the fine arts.
I thought that was $2 million that they just rejected this past year for reading.
Was it $2 million that they could have had and rejected?
Yeah, they rejected it because it would have dictated a specific type of reading program that they didn't want to do.
They have the option to pick from any number of federal grants that they could use for reading programs, and any number of them totaling about $15 million.
Yeah, what's wrong with trying them all? If there's money.
You know somebody at Marquette, actually, who wanted to start a phonics program, a phonics-based program, which for the little kids is not that bad, folks. It shouldn't scare you.
It's a good program.
It's a program that helps, and it's had quite a bit of success, or they wouldn't be nearly as wildly popular with parents, homeschooling parents,
as it is. Vicki, I think it's important to point out that it wasn't just somebody at that school. It was the principal. And she was denied.
She was denied trying mm-hmm. to start a phonics-based reading enhancement program.
I think that was actually Barbara Thompson at Lapham.
I think it was at Lapham.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, one of the other things that really got my attention when I moved back to town in July was that part of this referendum was to do maintenance. And I was shocked at that because I recall that in 1995-96, when there was a referendum to borrow $17.9 million, that was for catch-up maintenance, and it was supposed to be it was sold to the community as this is a five-year catch-up for maintenance that has been deferred. And so the community voted for that, and I thought that that was going to be finished after 5 years. A blue ribbon committee that was appointed with Andrew Pelicano, who was the head of the school of business here, and other leaders came together to advise the school board regarding what to do with maintenance. And they said, after this catch-up, maintenance should be in the operating budget of your school. You should budget for it as a regular operating item. So now I see that they borrowed in the $31 million that they borrowed in 99-2000, there was another maintenance part. And now they want $26.2 million for maintenance again.
They're having a problem catching up, apparently, Sarah. They just can't seem to catch up on all the maintenance that we have to do.
Except now they're saying that this is going to happen every 5 years.
Yeah, so every 5 years you can just expect to never get that the end of that referendum and that $82, which is what it's going to cost you back into your
I think they've decided that they've just offloaded maintenance out of the budget.
They're saying it's not even a tax increase. They're using this as a defense of this is not actually a property tax increase, because you're used to paying even though it is an increase, you're used to paying it, so we're just going to say it's flat.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not a freebie. Before we get into discussing and getting to some of the phone calls here, we do need to answer the question about the Allied School.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so let's get back to that real quickly if we can. Why build Leopold when, in fact, it does appear, at least it makes sense, to ship the Allied kids to the Leopold Elementary School? Why not build a school out in the Allied neighborhoods?
I think the real question of where you build a school is about all the population that can be served, and whether it's appropriate in the Allied area or whether it's appropriate at Leopold and tying it to the neighborhood of Allied, which is adjacent. The real issue why we don't have a school in the Allied Drive area is simply a matter of the constituency. There's not enough squeaky wheels there that had forced this board to get that job done. They need somebody else to go to the bat for them. And Boys and Girls Club and a number of different groups are involved in trying to get a neighborhood community center or, you know, reduce some of the buildings to change the populations there. You know, there's nobody going to bat for a school there. Nobody.
And that's the
problem. Yet those kids continue to get bussed out to other locations.
Yeah, and in this particular case, probably eventually going to wind up at least the younger kids at the Leopold School.
Well, or it's exactly, or who knows where. Well, the question was Chavez, which was the other school. And in fact, that whole question of why not a school in Allied came up when Chavez got built, because there were already two schools.
Chavez,
that's out on the Country Grove area, was built. We already had Toki. We already had it was Toki Orchard Ridge, Falk. We already had several schools over there. So they could have built one on this side of the Beltline for Allied, but no, they built Chavez over there. But the point is, I don't even, you know, they could have even connected Allied to that as a natural adjacent district, but they didn't. Allied got bussed clear across town.
All right, we're going to talk some more, and we're going to get to calls as well. So those of you, I apologize if we have not gotten to your calls. We've got a lot to cover here, but if you'd like to call in, it's 321-1310. Toll free at 877-235-1310. And we're going to tell you what these referenda are really going to cost you, because you hear $48 million bucks. $48 million is not what it's really going to cost you. We'll add up the totals and we'll tell you why as well. This is Upfront News Talk 1310.
Bringing you the weather you need, whether you want one or not. News Talk 1310 WIVA.
Spring has sprung, and to celebrate the end to a long, cold winter, the gaming action is just heating up at Dayjope Bingo. Play Dayjope's Lucky Loot program every Friday and Saturday night for a chance to win some of the biggest bingo payouts in the Midwest. At Dayjope Bingo and Entertainment, we know how to treat our players. For your gaming pleasure, we have over 250 state-of-the-art electronic bingo slot machines available for play beginning at 9 a.m. every day. And we now offer lunch service 7 days a week beginning at 10 a.m. And don't forget, we cook up one of the best tasting fish fries in the Madison area every Friday night. So get to Dayjope Bingo and take advantage of all we have to offer. Bigger payouts with our Lucky Loot program every Friday and Saturday night, Class 2 bingo slot machines, daily lunch service, and Friday night fish fry. Madison's premier bingo and entertainment center is Dayjope Bingo. Doors open at 9 a.m. daily, and you only have to be 18 to play and win.
Dayjope Bingo and Entertainment. Where the winners are!
Pressure. It's something every foundation is under. When the ground around your home is saturated by water, the pressure on your foundation is multiplied several times and may result in a bowing basement wall. If this has happened to your home, you need to call Badger Basement Systems right away. The experts at Badger Basement Systems use the patented grip-tight anchoring system that can actually straighten and stabilize your foundation wall. You certainly don't need the expense of rebuilding your foundation walls, or even worse, having a wall collapse. Have the experts at Badger Basement Systems perform a free evaluation. Call Badger Basement Systems. They are the certified foundation repair specialists. All they do is solve foundation problems with guaranteed results. If there's a problem, they'll show you the cost-effective and proven method of repairing your foundation walls. Call Badger Basement Systems today for a free consultation and estimate. 800-262-1880. That's 800-262-1880. Don't take chances with your home. Call toll-free 800-262-1880. Badger Basement Systems.
If you believe that every kid deserves a great school, stay tuned now for this Great Schools Budget Minute.
I'm Pat Wiseman, a math teacher in the West Dallas School District. For 15 straight years, our high school seniors have ranked first or second on the ACT college entrance exam. And our students have worked hard to achieve some of the highest graduation rates in the nation. But looming state budget cuts could undermine school quality. Already, revenue controls have begun to damage our schools, and further cuts could endanger not only the future of our children, but the future of Wisconsin as well. Please tell your legislators to support Governor Doyle's budget plan. That means great schools, property tax relief, and a better tomorrow.
This Great Schools Budget Minute has been brought to you by the Wisconsin Education Association Council, WEAC.org, because great schools benefit everyone.
With one of the largest selection of work boots in the Midwest, the Shoebox has the right boot for you. The Shoebox, open Monday through Friday till 8.
After 30 years, parking has returned to the Capitol Square. We'll have the story for you at 5 here on News Talk 1310 WIVA.
How do you do in the market today? Get the latest business news with CBS Market Watch, exclusively on News Talk 1310 WIVA. Now Upfront continues.
We do have an awful lot of stuff to cover here, so let's refresh. I've got Nancy Mistel, former board member and activist here in Madison, just trying to get the data out there for you folks. You can make your own judgments. If you think that 633 staff, additional staff in the Madison schools over 10 years and 45 fewer students should result in the board going to you and asking you for more money for a same service operating budget referendum, fine. If you think that fewer students historically in Madison should result in us building a new school for elementary kids, fine. It's up to you. Make the decision to yourselves. In fact, you guys have posted the data, so you will allow people to view this. This isn't you massaging it, and you've put it together so that people can understand it, right, Sarah?
Yeah, I think it's in a pretty straightforward chart form, and if people would just want to, if they've got a computer, they can go care info 05, all one word, at yahoo.com. I'll be glad to... just send it to them. It's in an Excel spreadsheet. And
you
they
know,
can...
we're going to post it on the website, too.
Okay,
we'll just post the info on the website at WIBA.com. I need to assemble that, so it might take me a few hours. It might take me until tomorrow to do it, but we're going to make it easy for folks. You can make your own decisions on whether or not you think this is an appropriate use of taxpayer money. When, and we've made this point several times, we have not audited the administration. We have not audited programs. We were talking about Reading Recovery is a perfect example. We have not bothered to see if in fact it's producing better readers and better students and taking and actually working on at-risk kids because that's what that program targets. We have been talking, Ruth Robarts and I talked on Friday about the complete failure of the board and of the administration to seize upon some federal monies provided by the No Child Left Behind Act because, let's face it, they prefer to bash that particular federal program in Bush instead of taking advantage of some fine arts money that might be able to be used for the strings program that seems to be on the cutting block again. Even though we know music education enhances academic performance, it's on the chopping block again.
Well, Vicki,
it's a nationally renowned program.
Well, and you know why it's on the chopping block? Because three administrators on the chopping block wouldn't raise any fire. We can't get strings parents activated to support our referendum if we recommend the reduction of three administrators to save strings.
Oh, goodness. Well, the strings parents are pretty ticked. Mm-hmm. And I actually received an email today from somebody who is quite supportive of the program who decided she was going to go and sit in on one of the strings classes. And she said, by and large, it was a nice mix of kids. It was white kids and black kids and Hispanic kids and all these kids together learning the discipline through music, actually understanding what discipline has to be in order, also understanding that they have to take responsibility for an instrument and they have to take responsibility for their own performances. She said it was a wonderful thing. Parents love it. It works for the kids. Parents are saying their kids do better in school. Why in the hell is this on the chopping block when we've got... Well, I've looked at the administrative budget, the administrative salaries. We could just cut three extraneous administrators, and we could pay for strings. We could cut back, let's just say, five of these 633 additional staffers who might be extraneous, mm-hmm. and we could pay for strings. Mm-hmm. We could seize money from the federal government, and we could pay for strings. Seems like nobody really is all that interested in paying for strings.
We could ask if we really need five principals at each school,
at each high school. Yeah.
In our district.
That is the most mystifying thing to me. How many kids typically go to the average Madison High School?
About 2,400, I think it is, at our largest schools.
The largest would be 2,000.
See, Sarah's got all this great
data. Say, for example, East High School right now is about 2,000.
Okay, 2,000 kids, and we've got five principals.
There's a school principal, and then there's one per grade level in addition. And then, of course, there's all kinds of guidance counselors and other support staff.
All right. So five principals for high school.
Okay.
Let's just reduce it to four principals, and we could pay for strings. Let me get to Mark. Mark, you're on News Talk 1310.
Yes.
All kinds of money, by the way, we can look and pay for strings. That's an easy one.
Let's let
Mark ask a question or make a comment. You're on, buddy.
Hi. Thank you. One of the questions I had when I heard the 1969 numbers you just quoted, and I certainly think there's things that need to be looked at, but how many unfunded mandates have we had, especially regarding the special needs students and the aides that are in the classroom with the teachers? And, I mean, I think special needs students have brought up on a lot of faculty over the last 20 years. So it's hard to compare apples to apples when you're comparing 1969 to today with all the different mandates and what's required to provide for students.
All right, you know what? I hate that you asked that question. We have to go to break. But here's what we're going to do, and it might, folks, that's a great question. It's actually a great point to make, and we're going to address that. I got to take a commercial break, and this is called a hard break, ladies. So we're going to have to actually wait until after the 5 o'clock news break. So I hope you don't mind, Mark, that we're going to have to wait until after the top of the hour news, all right? And we'll get back into it. And, folks, you are welcome to call in and ask your questions, 321-1310 or 877-235-1310. This is Up Front. Nancy Mistel, Sarah Kidd, my guest. You guys can hang out for another hour,
yes,
can't you?
Can.
Well, you don't have an option, do you?
Absolutely.
You know what? Because I control the door. I even in four-inch heels.
We're locked in here.
You're not leaving. So they will be. Both these ladies will be back to talk more about this. We have. We could probably spend three shows on this.
I think so.
We have no lack of things to bring to your attention. This is Upfront News Talk 1310.
Local water utilities ask us to conserve and protect our groundwater this summer. Choose the best plant varieties for lawn and garden conditions. Make sure water and air can get below the surface and mulch to retain moisture. Slow, thorough watering, if needed, will encourage deep roots and drought resistance. And only rain in the storm drain, please. Sprinkling pavement wastes water and energy, carrying nutrients and toxins to the waterways. The Fitchburg, McFarland, Middleton, Monona, Oregon, Verona, and Madison water utilities say careful water use. It's very cool.
This is Elmer Childress for All Faith Funeral and Cremation Services. Ever wonder why funerals cost so much? Overhead and excessive profit margins. All Faith is changing that. It's called the All Faith Fair Pricing Concept. We're eliminating these expenses and passing the savings on to you. Our typical funeral cost will save you between $2,000 and $3,000 when compared to other fine funeral homes in the Madison area. Compare for yourself. Call All Faith Funeral and Cremation Services at 442-0477.
Ah, the sounds of the office.
Ah,
like the sound of someone using a slow color printer they paid too much for. Well, those days are gone. Introducing the Xerox WorkCenter C2424 Multifunction. It copies and prints 24 pages per minute, making it the fastest networked color multifunction for under $3,000. In fact, the only thing you might have to worry about is...
What you printing?
1,000-page market segmentation study.
Ah, crap.
The new WorkCenter C2424 Multifunction. To learn more, visit Xerox.com/office.
Colby Gallery. Replacement windows made in Wisconsin for Wisconsin weather.
Time for the U.S. Cellular Rapid Traffic Report, brought to you by First Weber. The power of 1,400 sales associates in more than 40 locations behind the sale of your home. Visit firstweber.com to experience the power. I've got Jay Daniels on the line. How's traffic, my friend?
Well, eastbound side of the Bell Line right now, Vic. You're going to be seeing some of those slowdowns starting to get around Verona Road and then on and off until you hit the Ohio River Bridge. Also, westbound side, starting to see a lot heavier congestion from Rimrock up to about Fish Hatchery downtown. Also pretty congested right now as you try to head outbound. Do expect some slowdowns on East Washington through both sets of construction, as well as Park Street and also University. And a big heads up this afternoon, the Merrimack Ferry is closed, so if you're planning on using that, you're going to have to take an alternate route. It's going to get repaired. So big heads up on that. With this U.S. Cellular Rapid Traffic Update, I'm Jay Daniels on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. And Nancy Missel and Sarah Kidd will be back for another hour on the program right after the news, so stay with us. We're going to answer the special education question that Mark had right before the break. It's an excellent issue to bring up, and one that actually I have brought up in this program before, so we will get into that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about these referenda, because we need to explain how much real money this is actually going to cost us all, and I'm not sure that the district's been all that frank about it, so we will discuss that as well as many other issues surrounding these school issues, or these school situations, the referenda and the school budget, the administration. We'll tell you exactly where the money's going. This is Upfront News Talk 1310. This business update brought to you by Science by Tomorrow.
Good afternoon. Friday's stronger than expected jobs report combined with a lower than expected rise in wholesale inventories and some merger activity to keep investors cautiously optimistic today. The Dow gained 39 points to close at 10,394. The Nasdaq picked up 12 points, closing at 1,000.